There are experiences we accept as truth. You sense them, you feel them. There is also imagination. Those things that can only exist in the recesses of the mind. But what about the moments that flash before you? Are you absolutely sure that noise is the leaky faucet you've been meaning to fix? Or is it the footsteps of a stranger approaching? Perhaps it's one or the other, but all the more likely it falls somewhere on the middle of the grayscale. Let's begin, shall we?
You're not listening to me, Scoop. The problem is that you waltz in here over 10 minutes late with an in-depth article about last week's news. What am I supposed to do with that?
I am telling you, Mr. Williamson, there is still a lot more to this corruption story. The head of sanitation has been bought. I mean, come on, that's huge.
No, it was huge. It was huge last Tuesday when Peters broke it.
The real story? About how the whole thing has been going down right under our noses for the past 9 months? And this hack, Peters. He calls it Trashgate? Can we really not think of a better suffix for a political scandal than gate? It's washed up.
Scoop, the first time you actually break a story, I swear I will listen to your shitty suggestion for a title before I go with my own.
That's bullshit.
That's editing. Now, do you have a story for me this week or not?
I do. This is still a story. Listen, I know that we are trying to be the news now. We put that right under our name. But what about our responsibility to our readers? Look, we just can't give them half the story and then say, figure the rest out yourselves.
Scoop, I really don't have time for this.
It's our duty to inform the people. And that doesn't happen in 3 sentences, for God's sakes. These stories live in the details.
We're gonna go with Peter's story about the robbery.
Mr. Williamson?
What do you want, Peters?
Sorry, sir, I just wanted to bring you those changes you wanted for the front page. Got a quote from one of the bystanders. It's a little racist, but nothing that's gonna make us look bad.
You're gonna give this schmuck another front page? Mr. Williamson, he is a gimmick.
Good to see you too, Eddie.
Oh, go to hell.
That's enough.
Yeah, Scoop. What's got you so down in the dumps?
Don't try to be cute, Peters, you're not. And you. This is the 3rd week in a row you're gonna be without a story because you wasted the week dicking around on some follow-up shit no one cares about. Our motto is the news now, not whenever the fuck we get around to it. So here it is, Scoop. You have 1 week from today to break a story for me. Not to follow up, not to do an in-depth spread, but to actually find me some new fucking news. Do you think you can handle that?
Yes, sir, Mr. Williamson.
Good, because this is the last time we're gonna have this conversation. The next time you'll be out on your ass. Are we clear?
Yes, sir, Mr. Williamson.
Now both of you can get the fuck out of my office.
Well, I think you handled that really well in there. He seemed impressed.
Peters, can we cut the shit?
Fine.
You heard that my job was on the line in there. Williamson doesn't want the kind of stuff I write. He wants the kind of stuff you are writing.
Good?
Quick! Easy to read. And that's the stuff you're great at. That's why I need your help, Peters. I need a lead. Look, I know we don't get along, and you know how hard this has to be for me to come to you like this. I wouldn't ask if I didn't need it.
You're right. We don't get along, Scoop, do we? And do you know why that is? You. You are the reason why we don't get along.
Yeah, I know.
You've got a lot of balls asking me for a favor like this. Hell, you probably don't even remember 2 years ago that hot tip you gave me. You're a shitty person, Eddie. But that's fine, because people like you, they always get what's coming to them. I mean, come on. You write tragedy for a living. You know how this stuff plays out.
Eddie, my dear, have I got a lead for you. It's one to die for.
Who the hell are you?
What you are about to hear is a story of survival. Not the feel-good survival that overcomes adversity to achieve greatness, but rather the kind of self-shattering persistence that lingers like a heavy scent of disappointment. This is the story of print journalism, and Eddie Scupinelli is one of the last survivors of a dying breed. But like all survivors, he's about to see that dark glimmer of hope that lies on the other side of success. The one that just might save him, or perhaps leave him lost on the grayscale.
So, do you want my lead or not? You seemed pretty desperate, your words, for one not too long ago.
All right, lady. I don't know what kind of joke this is, but who the hell are you and what do you want?
Can we go somewhere a little more private?
You must think I'm stupid if you...
I assure you this is worth your time, so you should take it seriously. Thank you. Cigarette?
All right, if you don't tell me your name right now, I'm out.
Edward Scupinelli, 30, grew up in Southern Virginia, parents are dead, no brothers, no sisters. Your best friend was Frank Worston, but you two haven't spoken since you wrote that article about his bar. And, oh, that wasn't too long before Tina left, was it?
How do you know all this?
Well, I guess it's only fair you know a little about me. My name is Karen, Ferryman of the Underworld.
Did Peters put you up to this? I gotta say, this is pretty good.
The only thing this is real. So here's my offer. I will give you a lead. A big one. The kind that makes careers. But I will only give you this lead if you agree to portray the story as sympathetic.
Is it a sympathetic story?
Every story is a sympathetic one. At least from one angle.
All right. Well, if you're done wasting my time, I have to...
Eddie, I would think very carefully before you walk away from me.
Okay, let's say I did believe you, then what? What, you're just gonna hand me a lead and that's it? I don't think so. Are you trying to buy my soul or something?
I don't want you to sell me your soul. I couldn't do anything with it anyway.
Then what's your angle then? I mean, what's in this deal for you?
I have a lead that will save your career. Do you really think you're in a position to ask questions?
What's the deal?
Is that a yes?
What's the story first?
If you are not in the position to ask questions, you are most certainly not in the position to make demands. Either you agree to this, or we have nothing to discuss.
The agreement wasn't to hear the tip, it was to write about it. How do you know I'm gonna write about what you give?
Oh, Eddie. You will. Bet your life on that. And I would know, right?
Okay. If and when I write about this story, I will portray it with grace and sympathy. You better not fuck me on this.
Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in this fine little city of yours, a 10th grader named Julian Prime will shoot 15 people in his high school.
You want me to defend that?
Oh, you agreed to defend it.
But how can you defend something like that?
It will take a great writer. How's that for my angle?
Okay. Okay, what else you got?
Julian is a very fragile child. 4 brothers, 2 sisters, and no father. Trying at all costs to avoid contact with his classmates and mistake his...
The 11th Victim, by Eddie Scupinelli. Julian was a fragile child pushed over the edge by a system that stood by and allowed bullying and harassment to break a child's spirit and...
11 dead and 9 injured.
Julian Prime, named as assailant in high school.
I think he's got a point in his office.
No. We're not going to sit here and defend
a murderer. Prime's high school
is
now going through a full investigation into the bullying.
Can this kind of behavior happen at our children's schools?
The story became a little less black and white.
Tractor-trailer accident kills 15 people. Are these corporations overworking people to
driver
your death?
Driver confirmed awake for 30 hours before accident.
Still trying to get away
safe.
With this recklessness.
This is not
what happens when
right.
one of these knuckleheads runs into me and my kids?
School board commissioner Jeffrey Dallin caught with students. Find out what your child's doing for extra
another
credit.
Story
Thank
from the
God
scoop himself.
Like Eddie,
reporter,
scoop
Eddie Scupinelli in the past 3 months.
What Mr. Scupinelli is doing is dangerous.
All right. I like the sound of that. Folks, you're not going to want to go anywhere. We got to take a quick commercial break, and then we are going to be back with the man of the hour, Mr. Eddie the Scoop Scupinelli.
You've got to be fucking kidding me with this scoop.
There's no need to take that tone.
Bullshit! I give you the head writer position, and not even 2 full weeks later, you're quitting on me.
I don't feel like this is the place for me right now.
You know what this feels like? Another tantrum of yours. Even when I give you the front page, you got to find a problem with it.
This is argumentative.
You're damn right it is. I'm not going to let you push me around with a move like this. Quitting on me, leaving me high and dry in the middle of the week. You're a piece of work, Eddie.
I'm not quitting on you. I'm leaving the position. It's not personal.
How is this not supposed to be personal? I was the one who gave you the success to put you in a position to do something like this. Go back to freelancing after you begged me.
I did not beg. And as for my success, I was the only one who had anything to do with that.
Eddie.
I quit.
Mr. Williamson?
God damn it, Peters! That's it! I am tired of your pipsqueak ass. You're fired.
But, sir, I...
Get the hell out of the building. You have 30 minutes. Get out, both of you.
You ass... Hold. Stop it. Stop it! What's your problem?
You, Scoop, you are my problem. I can't stand you.
Well, the feeling's mutual.
I know this must be a goddamn game to you, walking around like you're hot shit, forgetting how recently you were begging for leave.
I don't have to take this.
I thought you going out for that promotion over me, a job we all know you didn't want, I figured that was going to be the final fuck you, the last cheap shot you needed to take. I come in this morning and find out you're quitting? Then you get me fired on your way out? This is my life. Does that mean anything to you?
Look, I'm sorry, Peters.
Eddie, what are you doing? You used to be a real reporter. These stories you've been writing, they're scare tactics, man. And you're smart enough to know that.
It's the truth.
It's borderline propaganda. Do you know what they're calling you down on the beat? They call you the Reaper. Is that really how you want people to remember you?
I always thought Scoop was a stupid name anyways.
Well, just remember this. Fame is a matter of attention, and our attention spans are only shrinking.
It's just like you said, Peters. Guys like you and me, we always get what's coming to us. See you in the papers.
There's a kid looking for you downstairs. Something about a Julian Prime? Said he wanted to speak with you.
Tell the kid to blow it out his ass. I'm going out back.
You look like you've had a long night.
It seems to be only getting longer.
It's good to see you again as well.
Please, Karen, not tonight.
You say that now, but this is another one of those big, life-changing stories. It will be a great one to kick off this new employment shift of yours.
How did you...
I will always know, Eddie.
I'm not in the mood tonight. After the way that things went down with Williamson, I was thinking about taking a break. Create a little scarcity, you know? Make them want it.
What are you saying?
I'm saying I'll pass on the tip.
Excuse me?
I'm saying I'm not interested in writing another one of your stories.
Well, I am sorry you feel that way. Because that is not your decision to make. This was not a temporary agreement. It was open-ended, as in I will tell you when it is over, and until then, there's absolutely no reason to discuss it.
What the hell is that? You can't treat me like this. I didn't...
You didn't what? Think there were clauses to deals made in hell? I have been more than helpful, above and beyond, even, in the execution of my side of this agreement. So grab a pencil and grow a pair. Take yourself down to the harbor at the edge of town, where your old pal Peters spends most of his nights, and get ready for a show. A writer will die there tonight.
You're telling me Peters is gonna die? What's the story?
Employment transition can be an incredibly stressful time for some people, and some of them can't handle it.
Well, if I have to watch the poor bastard die, at least I'm gonna get drunk.
I'm sure you'll make it quite the show.
Maybe a robbery gone wrong. Some thug trying to stick him up for cash, and when he finds his broke ass, he sticks him right there. Or perhaps a tragic accident. No, wait, no. She said something about pressure, so it can't be that, no. Oh, but that must be it.
sad and as lonely as he is. Not even with that miserable job in my shadow, and he has nothing. A coward like that would have no problem taking the easy way out, I can tell you that right now. Peters, talking about those attention spans like they were a good thing. He doesn't even know. He'll be forgotten.
Where is he?
I gotta sit down. Oh, what a joyous torture this performance is to watch and wonder that anything could happen. And to know that only one thing will.
That's pretty fucking clever.
Who the fuck are you?
My name is Harold Brown, sir. And my brother was one of the kids killed in the Julian Prime shooting. The murderer you tried to defend.
Listen, kid. I write the news. That means I report the events I see as I see them.
You don't even think about people like us, do you? You just think about the bottom line.
That's enough. Okay, you don't know anything about me. How dare you try and tell me how to do my job? And if your brother was one of the sick, sadistic fucks Julian picked off, maybe you think about the kind of person you're trying to defend. Now scram, kid.
Do not call me a kid!
Take it easy, kid. I mean, Harold.
Shut up, shut up, shut up. Just shut up and listen. Everyone wants to offer their thoughts on why these things happen, but no one ever wants to fucking listen. Oh my god, I just... I
said it would be a great story, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
So is it safe to assume that we have ourselves a deal, Mr. Peters?
Yeah. We got a deal. There are always worse people to write for.
Eddie Scupinelli is a man who traded the value of his name for the chance to see it on the front page. So obsessed with the survival of that name, he forgot to live a life worth remembering. And so it is in this dark alley at the hands of the monster who blames him for his own creation that we have seen the death of a writer, and where Eddie Scoop signs off with his final word on tragedy.
Help me.
Afraid I can't do that, my friend. We all have a job to do. Some less pleasant than others, some made less pleasant by our decisions on the grayscale.
The Grayscale is a production of CPT Broadcasting, the audio storytelling arm of Critical Point Theater, an ensemble-based performance company. You can hear more about what we do, including other podcasts, at criticalpointtheater.com. Critical Point Theater is a sponsored project of Fractured Atlas, a nonprofit arts service organization. The Grayscale is produced by Executive Director Julia Katz, Associate Director Lanny Fu, Podcast Production Manager Chelsea Rugg, and Podcast Head Honcho Andrew Terrence Caberline. The Last Word on Tragedy was written and directed by Dylan Amick and edited by Chelsea Rugg. This episode starred Jordan Goldston, Julia Ann Rather, James McBride, Andrew Heaton, and Patrick Mahaney, with Nate Bedencourt as the voice inside your head. Join us on June 1st for our next episode.